Feline Rosh Hashanah. I mean, it's really, as we just mentioned in Shia before, the in our system, in the halachic system, that which has the least amount of onesh is the most important. In other words, if a person is mechalel Shabbos, breaks Shabbos, so it's a chiyuv nisa. And however, the greatest kiyum of Shabbos, the greatest kiyum of Shabbos, is a kiyum of Talmud Torah on Shabbos. Kedushas Hayom, as we just mentioned in the previous year, Kedushas Hayom, the Kedushas Hayom of Tefillah and Talmud Torah. There is the high. That's where you find the highest fulfillment, the highest kiyum. However, insofar as Onshim is concerned, there the Onshim are weakest. Why? Because in terms of a system, you can't have a system where you give Onshim for things that people, not everybody is capable of doing in the fullest degree. So that's an area of perfection. You can't have real legislation. However, that's really where the greatest fulfillment of man is found, in those areas. Like we mentioned on Tainus. What is Tainus? The key of Tainus is Tshuva. That's the Tshuva. Tainus without Tshuva really has very little value. Of course, a person should break the tainus if he's not doing tshuva, because that's part of the halachic system, which he must keep. But the greatest kiyum is in those areas which are really removed from the basic physical performance of the mitzvah. Because the highest area is the part that involves the human mind. That's really the highest area. And that's the area where there's the least legislation, but the purpose of the whole Torah is to reach that area. Those areas are the greatest kiyum. And tefillah, the two areas really where a person reaches the highest level, because he uses that part of man which is highest, is tefillah and Talmud Torah. Now tefillah is a very important area, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim are really days of the year that are set aside for that perfection. What really is the perfection of tefillah? Talmud Torah is easy to understand. It's chachma. But tefillah people tend to look down upon. And I just want to, the reason why I'm mentioning these things is because I want you to be able to enjoy the tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah. Tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah are very beautiful, very enjoyable. And if a person misses the tefillahs, he really misses the essence of the Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And it's important, in order to enjoy it, to have some idea, to be able to relate to the tefillahs. Generally speaking, people have negative feelings about tefillahs. Burden, something that tshuva, especially something that people don't really look forward to. But it really, the truth of the matter is, it's because they have a misconception of the idea of tefillah, a misconception of the idea of tshuva. They have ideas from their infancy which they haven't outgrown, and those ideas are distasteful to them. But if a person would take the time to revise. And to understand tefillah in a mature way, he'd find that he even enjoys it, even loves tefillah. And tshuva as well, the process of tshuva as well. What is really tefillah? So the Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillah, where he talks about tefillah b'tzibur, so the Rambam mentions that, the mitzvah lorotz lebeis haknesses. It's perek ches halacha beis. Mitzvah lorotz lebeis haknesses, to run to shul. We explain this Rambam in the Shuras. But you see, that Rambam really defines tefillah. What really is tefillah? What is tefillah? Neidah nirdefah ladas es Hashem. As a matter of fact, we even said at the time that tefillah is a kiyum in das Hashem. It's kiyum in dias Hashem. An interesting concept. But the what does it mean really? How is tefillah kiyum in das? Say das, I'll sit and learn. How does tefillah work? The answer is that tefillah, knowledge is really in the abstract. But that's not enough to perfect a person. In order for a person to be perfected, he has to be able to apply his knowledge to his emotions. If he can't apply his knowledge to his emotions, then the knowledge really has very little value in terms of the person, in terms of the individual. Tefillah is a time when a person takes the knowledge that he has and brings his emotions closer to the knowledge, more in line. It's not something a person can do in one step, but a person can make a change in himself. It's the basic principle of Yadis, that a person can make a change. Changes are very difficult to make, and they're very hard won, I mean, because they require tremendous amounts of effort, but a person can do it. And any minute change that a person makes in himself, he should be very satisfied with. It's a tremendous accomplishment. But the way to do it is two processes. One is gaining knowledge, because you have to have knowledge to begin with. But the second thing is to be able to have a specific knowledge of the self. Very important, specific knowledge of the self. And that can only be done really through tefillah and through tshuva. Those two processes. Because tshuva is the same thing, really. Tshuva is where a person reflects upon his own nature and looks into himself. Tefillah is where he enunciates, where he realizes what the state of man is in general, what the perfect state of man is, what the imperfect state of man is, and also he relates it to himself. But it has to, tefillah is more universal than tshuva. Tshuva is really the particular. It's really the particular. Tefillah is like an intermediary stage where a person enunciates what the human situation is. When you look through the tefillahs, you really find two themes. I mean, there's several different ideas in the tefillah. Of course, Yom HaDin, many of the tefillahs, when I talk about tefillahs now, I'm talking about especially the piyutim. And you should really take time to learn, at least, I mean, everyone should know the structure of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, how it's structured. I think many shiurim were given on that in yeshiva, and there's no reason why you shouldn't take our time. I mean, you can't stand up before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom HaDin without knowing what you're saying, just reading through, following the Siddur, without knowing what the basic structure of the tefillah is. I mean, you can't do that. You have to at least have the basic knowledge of what the tefillahs are. The Musaf, especially, how the Musaf is set up with the psukim, with the introduction I mentioned several times from the Rav, the Seder, and we had some shiurim on the Gemaras in the area. You know, you should try and make sure that you at least learn that area before Yanta. Before Yanta is very, very important. And if you look carefully at the piyutim, I know the piyutim are hard to understand, but there are translations today in English, and you should definitely buy a machzor that has the translations. If you want to use the Mate Levi, which the Rav recommended, it's an excellent pirush, explains the piyutim. It's very good, but not everybody will, you know, has time to go through the Mate Levi. So at least get the English translation. What's a good translation? Birnbaum, is that the one?
Yeah, Birnbaum.
You should definitely get that. You should definitely look at the piyutim. All right, you should look at the piyutim. One of on Rosh Hashanah, of course, the piyutim is really basically what they say is one of the main themes in the piyutim, or there are two opposing themes really in the piyutim. One theme of the piyutim is about man's low level. Like, I can't even in the beginning of the Shachris, the way Yereisi Biftzeisi. That's a famous one. Everyone knows the tone. Yereisi Biftzeisi Siavashril. That's the tunes were made to convey. The tunes go back to the time of the Rishonim. You're not supposed to mishan. It's nusach. Nusach is very important. Nusach, because the purpose of tefillah is to reach out to a person and to bring him to a certain realization of the self. And the tune was used to recognize, the person should recognize certain areas, to reach him in emotionally, to initiate a certain response. The kiyum is not the tunes. I mean, the age of Chazanus was a very bad time, a very bad era. Because then what happened was the whole thing became the essence. Vocalist. People go to listen to a vocalist. That's not the purpose of the tefillahs. But a tune, that there should be a nusach is very good, because the nusach does reach a person. Music has an effect on a person, and it does reach, and supposed to reach him enough to draw him to the tefillah so that he should look into the tefillah. But one theme of the tefillah is that we are so small and so distant from God that we can't even begin to be misfollowed. The whole idea of tefillah is ridiculous. Erasi b'ftzaisi siyach l'hashu kumi l'chalos p'nei noro v'dochil v'katonti mas l'chein azchil tfuno chasati. I don't have any knowledge. The eichalchil. How can it be misfollowed? I mean, it's not a joke, you know. They don't mean it. It's not meant in jest or just to overdo to sound humble. This is reality. This is reality. All these tefillahs are reality. So one part of the tefillah, one theme of the tefillah, and then you have other yisodim me'af v'sof alof or benafshe yavi lachma moshel gecheras anishbar, and all those tefillahs. One theme of the tefillahs are that when a person looks at himself realistically, he sees that he is really worthless. He's worthless, and all his fantasies about himself are not true. And the tefillahs express this. If a person would look at himself, would recognize what type of an organism he is, how long his lifespan is, and all the his death, which is imminent, and yet to him seems absurd almost in his daily life. You see how far removed we are from reality. So of course, Yadus, as we said before, Yadus doesn't really demand that a person remove himself from his emotional life. We're just talking about the bracha of Shechiyano. That a person, Yadus allows a person to go on his everyday existence because there's a psychological reality that a person has to satisfy. A person can't walk around thinking about death all the time and be morbid, it'll accomplish nothing. It's not the purpose of the Torah. But every now and then a person has to be able to recognize reality. See. Now in the tefillahs you have two sides. On the one side you have the lowness of man and the greatness of God, the greatness of God in terms of the fact that we can't even begin to relate to him. But on the other side you also have the greatness of man. You have, for instance, the Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach, Adire Ayumai Adire V'kol, Hashem Malach. All these tefillahs, you know, just to say them along with the chazan, not to understand, it's terrible. It's crime. I mean, you have to understand what this is. This is really this tefillah is part of kedusha. So what is kedusha? Kedusha is nekadosh shimcha ba'olam k'shem shemigdishim aso b'shemayim marom, that we, even though we're imperfect, but we imitate the malachim. And you have adirei ayuma, that means klal yisrael yadir v'kol. Then you have bruei vorak, means malachim yivorchu v'kol. So the whole period over here is a combination. Sometimes it says the Jews klal yisrael. Sometimes it says malachim. What is it trying to show? That man praises God just like a malach. You see? And yet on the other hand we say that man is so small, they can't even begin to be mispowel. The whole idea of being mispowel is ridiculous. So what is the truth with regard to man? What is the truth? The truth is as follows. You can't have two totally contradictory premises. The truth is that, or the proper way for a person to look at it is that everything that we feel with regard to ourselves, that we sense that we have, that satisfies the egoistic part of our nature, is really false. And is really, and on the contrary, exhibits our smallness. But there is a mechanism in man. There is something in man that really partakes of greatness, that partakes of universals, that can understand Chachmas Hashem. That thing in man is not something that it's hard to describe it, but it's not something that really is a part of our nature insofar as we think of ourselves as in terms of how much we've accomplished or in terms of our acquisitions. It doesn't belong to that part. That part that searches for the acquisitions, for the accomplishments, and for our own greatness really has nothing to do with this other part. On the contrary, that's the fantasy part. That's the fantasy part. And that's why that's why that's one theme in the tefillahs where it breaks man down. Adam Yisodam Me'af V'Sof Alof, because it's true. It's true. We live in a world of fantasy. We live in a world of fantasy. I mean, if you just take a think, just think of it for a moment, that people who existed 100 years ago, how long is 100 years ago? In terms of astronomy, it's like a joke. You don't even know who they were. What will be 100 years from now? I mean, the reality is such that our existence is very insignificant. It's hard to realize it, but that's the truth. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim tries to emphasize that we should not try to make a false, give ourselves a false notion of our position in the universe. We have to recognize, and I say, how can you walk around recognizing we're so small? The truth of the matter is that the greater a person is, the more he recognizes his smallness. So the Pasuk says, V'ishmo shanav miod mikol adam asher p'nei adama. It's hard to recognize his smallness because it's very painful. The psychological reality is very painful. But a person should try to bring his nature a little closer to reality. A person can't destroy his psyche. He has to live a normal existence, but that should not prevent him from stopping off and realizing the truth at certain times. You see, he has to live a dichotomized existence. Dichotomized. Even though dichotomized is something which does not satisfy the ego, because the ego wants to believe that he's not dichotomized. It wants to believe he's one uniform essence. That's very gratifying, very satisfying. But it's false. It's false. We're dichotomized. There are different parts. On the one hand, we have the parts that are completely away from reality, which are the main driving forces in our natures. The main driving force in our nature has nothing to do with reality. But then there is that little part of our nature that could span the universe, that could recognize the chachma. An unbelievable thing, but that's the adira yumay adir v'kol. That's kedusha. The kaddish shem ba'olam geshem shem kedushas v'shmei mara. It means just like a malach, because Chazal say man is a combination of a malach and a behemoth. So those really are the two themes basically that run through the tefillahs. And when a person is, what is the purpose of tefillah? The purpose of tefillah is what the ones who organized the tefillahs, what they did was, they use different things to relate you to the concept. Of course, you just say the concept, okay, how long are you going to think about it? But in order for a person to be related to the concept, you need a variation of expression. And that's why you have them, that's why you have so many tefillahs. It's not they wanted to burden us with tefillahs. The reason why they have these so many tefillahs is because the variation of expression attracts the mind again. You can't attract the mind once, but attracts the mind again from a different aspect. That's why even they have it worked out that it rhymes. The tefillahs rhyme, the piyutim rhyme, and they're acrostics, the way they're set up. And all these, why? Because they try to vary more variation, different aspects of the theme. But this is very important, because tefillah is a time of realization of the realistic position of man in the universe. As a matter of fact, I mean, the whole tefillah is, of course, tefillah is mispal for something, but the if you look at the piyutim, most of the tefillah is not so much being mispal, but as much more recognition of what our state is. Naturally, of course, it doesn't take away from the concept of tefillah. You mispal for malchius, you mispal for in zichronos, and you mispal in shofros. But the main part of malchus, zichronos, and shofros is really the formulation of the ideas of malchus, zichronos, and shofros. Malchus is God's omnipotence, and zichronos is omniscience, is a total knowledge, and shofros is revelation. So those three ideas are expounded upon in the tefillah. But the tefillah part, of course, is very important. Not taken away from the tefillah part. But you cannot have a tefillah if you don't know what the themes are. You don't understand what they are. And that's why you have, it's limud. Really, it's a limud. It's a tefillah is a personal limud. And as such, it's something that a person should enjoy. Same thing with tshuva. See, tshuva also. Tshuva is something again where you investigate. A person should be able to investigate objectively his nature. Should be able to remove himself from his nature enough to be able to investigate it, like he's investigating an extraneous subject. Usually it's easy to do when you investigate somebody else, but for the self it becomes a little more difficult. But Yadav demands really that a person should be able to do it with regard to himself, and to honestly think into his nature and to see his shortcomings and see how his emotions are really distorting his reality principle. That's tshuva, and that's why tshuva and tefillah tie together so intimately. That's why you have on Yom Kippur tshuva and tefillah. Tshuva and Tefillah, actually, Tshuva Tefillah Tzedakah. Afirin Yisrael Agzera. Very good why Tzedakah is there. Because Tzedakah really is something that has to do also with the basic drive of man. Because money is something which a person associates with his security, with his sustenance. It's something that's associated with his ego. And to take from that, from his own money, and to recognize that there's an external individual, you see, which has a reality just as great as his, and in terms of the framework of the entire system, this individual is deserving of the sustenance just as much as himself, which is a total breakdown of the self. That is a very difficult thing. That's why tzedakah represents the whole the enactment. Tefillah and tshuva is the limud, but tzedakah represents the enactment of the perfection. Tzedakah is perfection. Tzedakah represents always. Tzedakah is representative of perfection. Chod Hashem Tzedakah, Lana Bar Shapar. Tzedakah represents the perfection. So that's why that's the tying of these three things. But
I just want you to feel also, you'll see a feel of a tzibur, you also see that it breaks the ego. You see everybody else has a right to talk to God just like you do.
Yes, yes, that's right. You mean feel a bit tzibur. That's true. That's true. And you'll notice that the personal, there isn't much room really in the tefillos and Rosh Hashanah for personal things. I mean, the themes that are elaborated on are done in a general way. That the din should be yotze l'mishpat properly. That the din should be yes, but not this, there's an avoidance of specifics. If a person, you'd ask a person, what would you want to follow? He'd figure out a list of particulars. That would be the thing he'd be tremendously emotionally attached to. But you see, that's not the way the tefillos are organized in Rosh Hashanah. It's very little about the personal, individual things. It's general. Why? Because the personal things are just expressions of our own nonsensical desires. We're trying to get away from that. Although, I mean, a person has to recognize that there is an ultimate good state which he's supposed to be striving for. I mean, for instance, the tefillah of Malchus. What's the tefillah of Malchus? How many people are machavein? I mean, al kena kava lachar Hashem al kena liros mehir b'seferas azecha. I mean, lahadrig lulim and ars v'lulim koreis v'yuchavin las yivir shmecha. I mean, how many people really are machavein when they say that they're really concerned about that so much? I mean, what's the what's the big concern? But the answer is a person recognizes that there is an ultimate source of reality, and the closer he is to that reality, the more beneficial it will be for him. So that's why even though his emotions don't sense it, but tefillah demands that he realize that, and he recognize that this is the truth, that he will be in a better state if there is a gilui shchinah, and if everybody recognizes the reality of God and Torah and mitzvahs, he recognizes that he'll be in a better state. Even emotionally, he doesn't sense it, but he has to recognize that reality, and he has to be mispowered for it. You see, the tefillahs, you can see how the tefillahs are formulated to raise a person to a higher level. And Yadis demands that a person has the double recognition. We just spoke about the bracha of Baruch Dor Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Dayan Emes. A person should make Dayan Emes whenever he has Besuros Ros. Besuras Ra'as would mean if a person lost all his money via Besura Ra, he has to make the bracha. So the Ram says over there that he should make that, he's mechuyev to make that bracha besimcha, with a tuv lev, and he's mechuyev to be sameach, to be happy when he makes that bracha. So the Ram says, and this is a measure of the brachas what? I don't remember what it was. Brachas. Around so yes. Shama shmo aro mavar barach dayan as a chayev adam mavarach al aro betov nefesh kederach shem mavarach al atova besimcha shenema vahavta yisar Hashem alakecha v'chol maidecha ubechlal ava hayesera shinstavina bo shafilu beis sheyetza lo yod v'yishabeach besimcha. So how can he do it? How can he yishabeach besimcha? And he's very upset. The answer is there's two different ideas that his mind relates to. One idea is the event, which is very, very sorrowing. However, there's another idea. The idea is for the source of the event, and that God is the ultimate reality behind everything, and there's a whole system of chachmeir, which we don't understand. When he thinks of that, he's supposed to experience simcha. That's bechlal ava. So you see that Yadis demands that a person live a dichotomized existence. It's not a contradiction. One part is his nature, which he has to allow to have a certain amount of free rein, otherwise he'll walk around morbid. That's not good. But simultaneously, he has to be able to come to grips and to face and to experience reality and to find a simcha in this experiencing of reality, even though it's against his emotions. See, and that's really the experience of tefillah.
That's
so,
the Akiva and Panayim, when they went to the Mikdash, they saw the fox going to the Kachikadash and they cried.
Yeah, and he was a right, because he said, that's right. So he saw the whole system. The emotion should be related. It's related to a different idea, a different concept. But that's what the concept is. I just want to mention today. I hope that you take the time. Really, you have like until Rosh Hashanah. There's not that much time. You have like a day and a half. You should take the time really to sit down and go through the tefillahs. Tefillahs should be something that a person really, if he involves himself in it, you'll find that you really enjoy it. You really enjoy it, and you gain knowledge from it. And you'll gain something in your life from it. The day of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, is something. You always see the Chazal talk as a matana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. I mean, so to let it go and not to improve ourselves is really our loss. It's our loss. The Yitzdak, it says in Nila, the Yitzdak Ma'itin Lach. If a person can be the greatest tzaddik, doesn't help God any. Doesn't give God anything. People tend to, again, because it's based on the infantile, they tend to feel that they're doing God a favor. And therefore, the whole thing is, shall I do God a favor or shall I not do God a favor? So he gets caught in an infantile battle of resistances and compulsions one way or the other. But he's forgetting, if you do that, then you're just limited to the infantile. That's a very, very low, low level. So the Rambam says that that's a level, not taking it's something, I mean, you need it for the system, but it's a very, very low level. The mature level, a person when he gains realization and knowledge, should understand that this is something which he really can benefit by. If he doesn't do it, he is losing. He's losing out in life. He's losing out in his happiness in life, and he's losing out in his perfection. He's losing out basically in everything that he should strive for, that his nature would normally teach him to strive for. But because of the fact that he doesn't understand, that's the worst catastrophe, where a person simply loses out because he doesn't understand something. He thinks he has a misconception of the whole idea of Tefillah and the whole idea of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. It's a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. So you should take advantage of it. And I want to show everybody Yixir HaSimut HaVa. Gemara. I would just like to, I mean, some of the fellows asked me to speak a little about Tshuva, and it's certainly a worthwhile area. Very important for the for Yom Kippur. It's the whole Kiddush Hayom. But I was thinking. I mean, we went through a lot of areas of tshuva already in the past. Yeah, you know? And it's difficult to constantly give mechadish new ideas of tshuva. I mean, there's only a limited amount of material in one inyan. But what I'd like to do is just to elaborate on certain areas that we mentioned in the past, okay? Because I feel that there's a concept of being involved in an area at the time of the performance of the mitzvah. I mean, if a person does a mitzvah and he's not involved in the chokhmah of the mitzvah before, it has very little meaning. Of a person, in order to take advantage of mitzvahs, a person should be involved in the chokhmah of the mitzvah. Then the mitzvah really has a value. So just to know you have to do tshuva doesn't really mean anything unless you sit down and you think about it, and you think about the halachic structure behind it, and what the whole system of tshuva is, then it has meaning. It must be updated. It has to be updated. There's halacha by Sanhedrin that they can't paskin if they let one day go by. Because that's it, they're out of the union. Out of the union, that's it. Can't possibly. You have to be in the union. And that's really what's takanas Marash Rabbeinu. They should be Isaac in every chag, Hilchis Chag B'chag. That's the aloha, because otherwise it has very little value. I mean, of course, the mitzvahs that you do every day, you should always be, you should know all the concepts, and since you're constantly involved in them, so therefore the Asiyas HaMitzvah is an expression of the Chachma behind it. But the mitzvahs are boys Mizman Mizman, like Chag. So in that area, I mean, a person cannot be involved. Suddenly comes to a Yom Tov Kol that has no meaning. The whole Kedushas Hayom, I mean, we know, we're familiar with the concept of Kedushas Hayom. And the Kedushas Hayom has no meaning unless you're really involved in the area. So I'd like to speak about two points. One point I spoke about once before Actually, both I did, but this one I just want to elaborate a little bit on the first point and maybe add a little bit something new to the second point. The Rambam's in Hilchas Tshuva Perek Beis. So the Rambam says, a Zui Tshuva Gemura. What is, I think, the reason why I was talking about this area is because I was thinking to myself, you know, what are the things that a person has in his mind, the reservations that he has, postpone his tshuva. One of the reservations that I think a person has is, in his mind, he thinks in the back of his mind, is that, look, I'm a young person, and after all, there'll be many more Yom Kippurs. No sense to rush into this thing right now, you know. Let this one slide by and just wait a few more hours, the fast is over, and everything's fine. I'll make a big simcha matzah Yom Kippur. And that's brought down to Halacha, make a big simcha matzah Yom Kippur, and that's it. Worry about it next year. Be about 65, 70, you feel that I'm getting a little rickety, then there's a time to take this more seriously. So I think that's one thing, that's one reservation that a person has in the back of their mind that prevents them from really getting involved in the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur. There's no urgency here. There's no urgency. So that's why I think the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, makes a point to speak about this area. He says like this, a Zui Tshuva Gemura. What is considered a real tshuva? He says, Zeshe Bola Yedo Dova Shava Bo. Familiar with the Rambam, and he says, and the person is in the same situation, and he's physically the same, has the same strength physically and psychologically, and he's in the same situation, and he doesn't do the Avera. That's what the Rambam says. He says, this is the real tshuva. He says, Hu she Shlomo Amar. That's what Shlomo Amar says, Uzechor es bora echo bimei b'churasecha. You should remember your Creator in the days of your youth, when you're young. So tshuva, the main time for a person to do tshuva, contrary to the way the rest of the world thinks, the main time a person should do tshuva is when he's young. Not when he's old, when he's young. That's there is the emphasis. V'im lo shav ala bimei z'knuso, but if he only did tshuva when he was old, and at a time when it was impossible for him to do the averas that he was doing, says even though afal pisha ena tshuva, he says shein tshuva meula, it's not a really good tshuva, moelas ilo, it is effective a bal tshuva, he's considered a bal tshuva. All right. Then the Rambam continues, afilu over kol yama v'asa tshuva b'yom misasa, even if he did averas all his life. And in the end of his life, the day of his death, he did tshuva, umeis b'tshuva, so, and he died after that tshuva, because the person is judged at the state that he is in the moment he dies. That's the way he's judged. Kol avon osav nimcholam. All his sins are forgiven. Shenema, ad shelo sechshach ha-shemesh ve'or v'yareach v'akolchovim. The pasuk says, before the time when the sun is dim, is black, and the light, and the moon, and the stars, and then the clouds will return after the rain. Shehu yom amisa. That's the day of death. Nechlau, from this you see Shem Zocha Baro Veshov Kodem Sheyomos Nislachlo. So you see that if he remembered God and he did tshuva right before he died, so he's forgiven. That's what the Rambam says. Okay, so the Rambam spells it out, but the thing is that when a person reads this Rambam, so it's a little bit mitigating also. He says, well, look, it's not bad. The Rambam says it's Nislachlo. But you have to understand what the Rambam means. What the Rambam means here basically is that there are two different levels of tshuva. And the level that a person passes away from this world at, that's the level that he's permanently at. I mean, he's fixed at that level. So a person should realize that if he forgoes the tshuva that can be done in his youth, and he waits for the tshuva that comes later, It's nislachla, but nislachla doesn't mean he's on the same status or the same level in eternity. I mean, it's a different level completely. So actually, the situation is an urgent one in terms of tshuva, because the real tshuva of zechoras borecho bimei bechurasecho is only possible when you're young. When the person's old, it's almost impossible. Well, it's an interesting thing. Why can't a person do a tshuva meula when he's old? I think that why the Rambam really. It would seem from the Rambam. I mean, if you would not learn this Rambam, you would say like this: it depends on the type of tshuva. Not that it depends on his physical strength, and his he's in the exact same situation. I mean, he could be that he's old, but if he does a real tshuva when he's old, then it's as good as any other tshuva. Why does the Rambam say? The Rambam says no. V'im lo shav ela b'mei ziknusa u'be'eis she'if shelo lasas masha yosa. He says, "I'afal pi she'ena tshuva meula mo elasilah." What is clear from the Rambam? The Rambam is clear, a very interesting thing, because most people think that there's two levels of tshuva. There's tshuva gemura meula, and then there's a lower level of tshuva. So most people think, yeah, but who says you can't do the tshuva meula later? It's just generally speaking, the Rambam's talking. No, the Rambam insists. He says, if a person does tshuva at the time of zikna, that's not the same tshuva anymore. It means that the time when youth passes, once youth passes, a certain type of tshuva becomes impossible. Certain type of tshuva becomes impossible. It's an interesting thing, according to the Rambam. How does the Rambam learn it? He derives it from a pasuk. So, what is the concept really? We one time spoke about this. What is the concept? Why is it really? What's the difference between the tshuva of youth and the tshuva of old age? What's the difference? Why really? And the second one is a tshuva, but it's not a tshuva mu'ula. What's the difference? So, we one time spoke about it. Anybody remember?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Richard. Hey, let me explain this to you, right? The thing is like this, that the... You see, it's an interesting... You have to look at the pasuk. Alright? Yeah. Zechoras borecho bimei bechurasecho. Shlomo Melech doesn't leave anything open over here. Zechoras borecho bimei bechurasecho. You should remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Ad asher lo yavo'u yimei harah. Before the bad days come. The giyu shonim, and years will arrive, asher tomar, that you'll say, ein livam chepetz. I have no desire to live. I have no desire in those days. Then he says like this. Ad asher lo sechshach ha-shemesh v'or. This is where the Rambam derives the second halacha. Because it says, Ad asher lo sechshach ha-shemesh v'or v'yoreach v'akochovim. So all these v'shavu of machar goshen. Rashi explains, one time went through this, that this is a description of the physical deterioration of the human body. But he used it as a mushroom. That's what the whole paragraph is about. So, Ad asher lo sechshach ha-shemesh v'or, it's speaking about the parts of the body. Shemesh, the Gemara says, means the padachas, the fire. When a person gets old, everything starts changing slowly. It's a process of deterioration. And it goes through, it gives it gives a mashal for. It's in Yud Beis, Koheles Yud Beis. Everyone it gives a mashal for. The rib cage, and this afsu anshe achoyo, that's the thighs, the big bones of the body that support the weight of the body. Uvotlu atochanos kimietu, and it means the tochanos means a mill, grinder, things that grind, it's referring to the teeth. Kimietu, because the person loses teeth in old age. The choshku haroz barubas, and those things looking out of the windows become dark. I mean the eyes, and it's a whole description of the. It takes a town, a city, and it makes a description. He draws an analogy between a city, between a person. I one time said why Shlomo Melech did it that way, because a person can't realize it in himself, because there's too many powerful emotions against that concept that he's going to deteriorate, even though he sees everybody else does. But that's where the Chafetz Chaim means that the Chafetz Chaim's famous verse says he thinks that they belong to a special club. You see, he's not a member in that club. But that's the psychology of the person. That's an obvious thing that the people was there's no identification. Old age, this man was born old. He's an old man. That's it. But there is no way that a person can tolerate such an idea. That's why he gives the mashal. Because in the mashal, he could realize through Derech Mashal, he could realize the Mashal, and then you could throw it back a little bit on the Nimshal. But the Rambam learns like this, because how does the Rambam learn from the Pasuk? It's important to see how the Rambam learns the Pasuk. There's a Choras Borecha B'mein B'chur Asecha, and then he doesn't complete the Pasuk, because he says, the next Pasuk says, Ara Shelo Sech Shach HaShemesh V'or. So he says, you see, when it says, Ara Shelo Sech Shach HaShemesh V'or, it's going back in the first part of the first Pasuk. There's a Choras Borecha B'mein B'chur Asecha, Ara Shelo Yevo Yumei Ara, then Ara Shelo Sech Shach HaShemesh means right before he gets very, very old. Sech Shach HaShemesh means, the Rambam says Sech HaShemesh means right before he dies. So therefore you see that there is such a thing as remembering God before a person dies, but it's not the same thing. Now let's take a look at the Pasuk. The truth of the matter is the Pasuk, the plain shot in the Pasuk, is not talking about a person's chelek in Gan Eden. It's not talking about it. It's an interesting thing, but the Pasuk does not talk about it. Shlomo HaMelech is not talking about that. Shlomo HaMelech doesn't write too much about Gan Eden. Shlomo HaMelech writes very much about what goes on over here. Okay. Now he says like this. Zechoras borecha b'mei b'churasecha ara shelo yavo'u yimei hara. What does it mean? Ara shelo yavo'u yimei hara. Before the bad days come. That means the days where the body is deteriorated. V'giyu shonim yashatoma ein livam chevetz. And you'll come upon days that you'll say, I don't have any desire to live. Why does he... What does it mean? I mean, basically, what does it mean? So therefore... What is he saying? What is the implication of the pasuk? Yes. It seemed to me, at least, that what he's saying is like this: Ad asher lo yavo yemei hara'ah, v'igiyu shonim asher tomar ein livam chefetz. That you should remember God when you're young, in order that you should avoid the situation where you will say, you will have days that you will say ein livam cheshek. Do you know what I mean? Ad asher lo yavo yemei hara'ah, v'igiyu shonim asher tomar ein livam chefetz. Then you're going to count upon days. You're going to say, "There's no purpose in my existence."
Isn't he comparing?
All right. It's to say, what you understand the pasuk? You understand it? Yes. Baruch Hashem bechurasecha. Ad asher lo yavo yemei hara'ah. Before the bad days arrive, v'igiyu shonim asher tomar ein livam chefetz. What does it mean? It means you'll reach.
That's the result of not.
Exactly. Ara shelo yavo yemei hara'ah is referring to before zikna. V'igiyu shonim asher tomar ein livam chefetz. You'll count upon days. You'll say, I have no desire anymore, because that's the way old people are. Why is everybody so afraid of old age? Because in old age, there are no more. All the enjoyments that a person had when he was young are gone. So people dread such an existence, because what happens is like this. Unfortunately, what happens is that the body ages, but the psyche always remains young. You will never see a person with an old psyche. See? Only with an old body. So what happens is, now his psyche requires enjoyment and pleasure just like it did when he was 10 years old. You see, or 30 or 40, whatever it was. And then, physically, however, he can't fulfill the desire, because the body is old. He can't. That's why old people are of a different mentality. If you'll notice, I mean, if you speak with old people, most of them, are, it's a different mentality, right? Different mentality. Different frame of mind. A young person cannot identify with that frame of mind.
Club.
Different frame of mind. What?
Different club.
It's a different club, exactly. So, that's what he says. The implication is, at least the way I understand the pasuk, the implication is that if you have zechor as borecho b'mei b'churasecho, atchelo yevor yumei ro, then you won't have the giyu shonim asher tomar ein livam chefetz. See, why is that so? Why? What happened? First of all, you have to understand, why? What happens? What happens to the person? What happens to the person when he's older is that the person has the same desires he had when he was young. However, these desires cannot be fulfilled. So what happens, rather than being satiated by the desire, he is frustrated, and the desire leaves him in a state of unhappiness. You see. Now, what the Pasuk is telling you if you are Zachor, if you are Zocher Borecha, Bimei Bechurasecha, then you could re-channel the energy into a different area, so that the person, when he reaches that state where his body can't perform, in order to give him pleasure, so he has a different source of enjoyment. Different source of enjoyment. So then it's not the So then it's not Asher Tagir Yom Mishitoma only Ben Chayfetz. You understand? However, if he doesn't redirect his energy, he will definitely have to arrive at a situation where he's going to find that he's frustrated, he's disappointed. He's in a state of disappointment. An old person, you might say, is in a constant state of disappointment. That's why people make fun of old people, say they're grouchy. Yeah, of course they're grouchy. If you would find that you're so frustrated, you'd also be unhappy. Yes. Things decrease, that's a mistake.
So not physically, they don't have the
same desire for enjoyment, the same capacity for enjoyment of psychological energy as a young person. There's very little difference. Studies they're doing recently show more and more that's the case. Because people made superficial observations. They see a person gets old, he doesn't have any desire. They see the sexual desire diminishes. Yeah, it diminishes because he was diminished. He doesn't have desire anymore. He's frustrated. State of frustration.
But it doesn't seem the same time.
It doesn't seem that way. Because the person with the broken leg didn't adjust his mind to it. Because he knows he's going to get better soon. So therefore, his psyche is waiting, ready to go. He's just thinking every minute, when is the leg going to get better? But the old person knows it's all over. That's it. This is not going to get better. This stays this way. It gets worse. So that's why he's adjusted his mentality. So he has a different frame of mind.
Isn't there a mentality of...
You know, no desire means... That's what it means. No desire. Chefetz means desire. It means no desire. What does it mean? It means he is stuck. And he basically, what you see on the surface is the person has no interest. People get older, they lose interest in life. That's why they try to do things for these people. They try to make life interesting, you know, try to get them going a little bit. But no interest is from depression. It's basically a semi-depression. It's a state of semi-depression. That's what it is. So it looks to you like, oh, they're very content. They're not content.
No, they don't look content. They just look like...
No desire. Find that in their old age they also have a lot of the psychological pleasures. Yeah, mainly their pleasure was psychological, the nice old people. And the psychological pleasures they can still continue to have. So therefore they're in a better situation. Okay. Now the thing is like this. I should tell my only ben chayetz. Yeah. But then the next pasuk says, Ara shelo sechshach hashemesh v'or. That means that's referring Uzuchos Borakha Ara Shah Sakh Shahashemish Vaor. I mean that's the Pshat in the Pasuk. The Raman's right. Look at the Pasuk, that's the Pshat. So it means to say that Ara Shah, it means that right before that it's even valuable to do tshuva even at that time. What kind of a tshuva? What's the difference between the tshuva the person does at that time and the tshuva they does one be Bachrus? What's the difference? The difference is what? The difference is like this. Over there, the man is basically morbid. He's morbid. He has a strong touch of morbidity. What he does is, since he's disappointed, so he says, all right, these tivers are no good anyways. Why are they no good anyways? Because you see, he doesn't have them anymore. Right? So therefore, out of frustration, he comes to the realization that actually the right way of life really was the way that he missed. The way of Chochmah and the way of Torah. He sees that this is really the right way of life. So that's a tshuva. That's a tshuva because it's a realization. And a realization is tshuva. And so far as the soul is concerned, his soul is definitely raised to a higher level. There's no question about it. But that is not the tshuva that a person does, b'mei habacharis. The Mea Bacharis means there is no energy in a state of frustration. That's the difference. In the Mea Zikna and the energy that's in the state of frustration, Mea Zikna, he cannot remove from frustration. Can't remove it. That's why the Rambam says a person does tshuva at the time of Zikna, it's a pasuk. It's not the same tshuva. Because in Zikna you cannot remove, the energy is already trapped, directed towards the desires. And when the frustration sets in, the only thing he can do at that time is he can recognize that he made a mistake. He made a mistake, this was the wrong path, you say. But he cannot stop the direction of the energy at that time. The energy is already permanently trapped. And it's an interesting thing. When the energy is in a state of frustration, you can't remove it. When the energy is in a state of satisfaction, you can still change it. That's what the pasuk says. State of satisfaction, you could change it. You could switch it from one satisfaction. But a state of disappointment, no. That means that the person is totally disappointed. He's upset with the situation. He cannot there's nothing to remove there. It's in a state of, once it's disappointment, it's gone already. It's fixed. You see, it's fixed. You can't go back to the state of satisfaction, you see, and then remove it. This energy, in other words, energy that's being satisfied, you could remove it from here and place over there. Energy is being frustrated, it means the direction has been established, and now all the experience is frustration. If all you experience is frustration, you can't change it anymore. If you experience satisfaction, you can change it. If you experience frustration, you can't. There's no way to change frustrated energy. That's what the Pasuk says. It's an interesting thing. But that is the... What?
And he can't change... He can't put
it... He could have reached when he was young, when he was youthful, can never be reached again. That's it. He's redirection of the energy. Now you can't redirect it once it's in a state of thermosis. That's the challenge you're saying. Why don't I say there's more schar for old age tshuva because it's more difficult? The answer is because he can only do a certain kind of tshuva, and that kind of tshuva is not more difficult. That kind of tshuva is not more difficult. You see, Varai, you see many people spend their lives in taivas, and then before they die, they do say, have a hirui tshuva. You know, of course, it's very simple. Why? Because, I mean, now they have no choice. But that level, that's also a level. If he's sincere, he can't, I mean, he can't fool God. But if he's sincere, and he really thinks to himself, and he has a tremendous desire to live to have lived the other way, you see, to have his life over again, to have lived the other way, then, that's tshuva, and it certainly is a level. But it has no relationship. It's not anywhere near the level that the person can reach, be made bachras at the time of youth. So yes, frustration, that's a tentative frustration. Everybody has frustrations. Even when you're young, you have frustrations. But when a person gets older, the frustration is a different thing because the person knows this is it. Like the example we gave before, a person with a broken arm. A young person may be frustrated, but he still feels he's young, he has time, things can change, and that idea is always prevalent in the back of his mind. No matter how frustrated he may be, at the moment he may say, it's never going to be good, but the point is, in the back of his mind, he still knows that he's young and things can change. You see, unless a person is suicidal, that's when a person thinks that he can't change it. But the normal person, even though he's frustrated, he knows that in the future, things can change. However, when a person is older, it's a different thing. You see, you can't know what it is because when a person is older, it's like the psak din is given. There is no way out. He sees. You don't see what we fail to realize. That's what we fail to realize. We basically, what is our problem? Our problem is that we believe our senses and our emotions very much. We believe them. You see, they affect us tremendously. So when a person gets up and he feels terrific, he feels like he's going to live forever. He can't imagine death. I mean, physically he feels powerful. He feels fantastic. He feels healthy. He can't. But when a person starts seeing the deterioration every day, he sees he's getting worse, weaker and weaker. I mean, it has an effect on a person. It has an effect on a person. See, that's why, I mean, everybody knows they're going to die, but the closer you get to death, the less you could believe the idea that you're immortal. You know what I mean? The closer, there's a balance between reality and between the emotions. The reality is a person that's going to die. But when he feels great, that reality isn't too convincing. See? The emotions are very convincing. When he approaches a person, if a person was in jail and he was sentenced to die tomorrow, the reality is very great. So even though the emotions are countering it, but the effect of the reality is very powerful. So there's a balance here between the reality and between the emotions. Balance. Question is which one is greater. And when a person's youthful, the emotions are very powerful. The reality gets pushed away. But when a person gets closer, he gets older, he gets closer, he sees his friends passed away, he sees he's getting older, he sees he looks older, he feels older. I mean, these things are, he can't deny these things. The processes are taking place. He sees he's just a busser, don't like anybody else, and it won't be long before he'll go the way of all flesh. So he has to come to the realization. He might not want to do it, but it has an effect on him. When a person's young, he can fool himself. Young, a person can still fool himself and still prevent that reality has a very small effect on his mind. Very small effect. As he gets older, it has a greater effect.
It gives the potential.
Yes.
Why not?
It's a different kind of a thing. What he's saying is if he could live it over again, he would. redirected, but he can't, because the patterns are established, and once a pattern is established and frustrated, that's it. Can't. A certain part of him is a shav. A certain part of him is redirected. That is the part that values the this type of a life. But that's not the same thing as attaching the energy to, actually attaching the energy to chachma. That's a different thing altogether. In other words, there is two things. A person could, if you ask a person, what kind of a life would you like? So a person will answer you, I like to have this style, that style, whatever style it might be. That's one thing. But attaching energy to the objects involved in that style itself, that's a different phenomenon. It's a totally different phenomenon. A person might want to be a great chacham. Yeah, but is his energy attached to ideas? How much time does he spend thinking? Nothing. He'd like to be a chacham. Very nice.
What sense is that tshuva?
It's nice. It is tshuva. It is tshuva because one part of him does value the good. But there's a difference between the person having the good as a value and being attached to the good itself. Actually living the good. There's two different things. It's two different things altogether. Value the good means one part of him recognizes it, but his psyche is not reorganized so that the energy is actually attached to the good. It's just he recognizes that if he would have a choice, he would attach his energy to this. It's fine, but they didn't attach the energy. See? It's something, it's a level, but it's not this, it's a totally different level. So what I want to point out is that once a year, God saw fit to, a person can't constantly recognize the importance of something. And like the Rambam says, he mentions about this, the Rambam says in the Morning of Vukum, he says, why is there a lach of Tumah Vatara? Why did God create the lach of Tumah Vatara? Because he says that the psychology of a person is such that something that he does all the time becomes mundane, loses its effect. See, it loses its effect. So it's as if everybody would go into the Beis HaMikdash at all times, the Beis HaMikdash would lose its effect. So therefore, God wanted a person to be affected by the Mikdash. When he walks into the Mikdash, he should be inspired with awe, and he should remind him of the true ideas, drawn close to the true ideas. So that's why God made halacha of Tumah. Because Tumah basically has to do with Kachim. So that very, the person, most people are Tumah most of the time, so it's hard to avoid. So therefore, they can't go to the Mikdash all the time. You see? So the same thing is true with regard to Tshuva. God made a Zman, and we said yesterday that Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, Aseres Yimei Tshuva is not a Drabbanan, and it's not a Chumrah, it's not a Maisa Chasidus, but it's Halacha Midaraisa. You see that there's a reason that one of the Gaonim says that you can fast the second day of Rosh Hashanah, even though you can't fast the first. Why first day you can't fast? Because the Kedusha Yom is Midaraisa, so you need Simcha. But the second day, Simcha is Halacha Drabbanan, and Yom Tshuva is Midaraisa. So the Yom Tshuva Deraisa is Mevatel, the Simcha Midrabanan of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and you're supposed to fast the second day of Rosh Hashanah according to Sam Gainer. So you see that the Aseres Yimei Tshuva is Kavua, is Halacha Midaraisa. It's Kavua Midaraisa. It's a Kviyas Hayom, it's not a Kedushas Hayom, but it's a Kviyas Hayom Midaraisa, Aseres Yimei Tshuva. That's why Slichas, saying Slichas in the morning, is a Kiyam Deraisa. Saying Slichas is a Kiyam Deraisa. No question about it. It's not a chumah. It's not a mila. It's not a ma'aseh chasidus. It's a kiyum d'oraisa. So what I want to say is that you see in God's plan that once a year was, he only wanted once a year should be his man of tshuva. Why? Because if every day was chayav in tshuva. But the emphasis on tshuva is placed on Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Zman that's kavua, special man that's kavua for tshuva. Because something that's not kavua, that something that's all the time loses its chashivas. So apparently the psychology of a person is that if a person would have to do tshuva every day, he would forget about it. But now there's this man kavua for tshuva, so that brings the gives us the impetus of tshuva. So really, this is the time zechoras borecha. This is the time of the year when you have to make that effort. You cannot do it in 1 year. You cannot do it in 1 year. It's impossible. A person has to move slowly. Every year he has to make a new step, a new level. Different levels of perfection. And a person has to utilize, there aren't that many years when you think about it. I mean, until you may have Zikna. A person has to utilize every year to make another niche, because to make a niche in a person's soul, to make an improvement, is a very difficult thing. A person makes a change, and he really sees a change in himself, it's a tremendous accomplishment. But it takes a lot of effort. So that's why a person must utilize every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I mean, not to miss one. To miss one would be a terrible thing. It means you're really wasting a part of your life. That's the way the Torah set it up. Yes, you put it very well. In old days, when he does tshuva, he cannot avoid the effect of the frustration. In other words, the frustration really propels him to tshuva to a great degree. No matter how much he's going to try to tell himself a lishma, but the fact is, you cannot avoid the frustration. The frustration really, what he's telling himself is that if I would have lived differently, I wouldn't have had this frustration. Frustration leads. That's why it's not a tshuva mola. That's part of the reason why it's not a tshuva mola. It's essentially a tshuva of frustration. That's what it is. A tshuva of frustration is a very limited tshuva. Very limited tshuva. It's a different kind of perfection that a person in the eternal world. I mean, there's no comparison. You cannot compare the two. So really, the tshuva b'mei habachras. That's why the pasuk says openly. Zechoras barachat mebechur asecha. That's the time to make the changes. That's the time to improve the soul. When do you improve the soul? In youth. One of the philosophers one time said, Gaius philosopher, he didn't know anything about Yadis, but he said the exact same thing. Said that the only time for a person to improve himself is in youth. Just like youth is a time when a person accomplishes all the great feats of his life, physical, psychological, whatever it is, that's the time to accomplish improvement of the soul. Old age, you can't do it anymore. Because once the frustration sets in, that's it. Yes. Let me explain that. I think it's a funny thing. I went through a lot of these things already, but I see that every time we have to get into the area again. All right. The thing is like this: How does a person do tshuva? So the question is: so what will a person say? I understand the problem with tshuva is that we have infantile notions about tshuva. Most people's tshuva is no different than a 4-year-old saying, "I won't do it anymore. I'm sorry, and I'll be good from now on." That's basically what it is. But most people's tshuva. I mean, a person's 45 years old and he's still doing the same tshuva 2-year-old. Now you have to realize that there's a tshuva is a very deep thing. It's a different level of tshuva. It's not just like a child that's saying, "I won't do it anymore." He's not going to do it anymore. He's going to do God a favor. That's not really tshuva. How does a person do tshuva? How does a person do tshuva? A person does tshuva. There are two things involved in doing tshuva. One thing is, the first thing is a universal knowledge. He has to know universally what the good life is. That's mandatory. Without that, that's why everything's Torah. Barasi yetzer hara, barasi Torah tavlin, the Gemara says. Without Torah, there's nothing. You can't. An ignoramus's tshuva is not worth too much. Tshuva has to be the essence of Yad, this is Torah. Without Torah, nothing moves from the spot. L'das chochma o musa, Shlomo HaMelech says. So the Gemara says, why does it say, im chochma hei lama musa, im musa lama chochma? So the Gemara says, Musa sheyeshi mo chachma, that's Musa. And if there's no chachma, it's nothing. Emotionally, he's very carried away. Yeah, but you'll see emotions change like the wind. So it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. The only thing we know that can change a person is knowledge. That is the only thing. That's what has to be with chachma. So first of all, a person must understand in the abstract what the good life is and why it's the good life. Not he's going to be good to do God a favor, but he has to understand why. Kihu chayecha v'arich yamecha. All the psukim of the Torah only say one thing. It doesn't say to do any good for God. It says openly in the Torah only one thing: do good because this is the best thing for you. Every pasuk in the Torah. So that's why I told you what the Rambam says in the Rambam. Bani also says something. Nobody argues on this point that a person in yitzdak mayit and loch is a tefillah say in the ilah that no matter how great a tzaddik a person is, he does not help God at all. Mayit and loch, he can't give God anything. Psukim the Torah. This is the Ramban says. The Rambam is not a point of philosophy. It's a basic thing. But most people haven't really matured. They haven't grown up. They haven't change their emotions to that type of a realization. See, and they're still in an infantile state. That's what they should do tshuva from. But what you have to do is as follows. The tshuva, I can't tell everybody how to do tshuva individually. I can just give you a general formula, because tshuva requires insight. Just like if you want to crack a taisvis, if you want to understand the Rambam, you have to think into it. And you have to, the mind has to be involved in the area. And I'm telling you, if the mind is not involved in this area, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to make any breakthroughs. In order to make a breakthrough in your life, there's only one thing you can do. First of all, you must know generally what the true Hashgafas Olam is, what the true philosophy is. That a person must understand it. That alone requires a lot of time in order to understand. And then he must be able to reflect into himself and see where he's missing it. See where he's missing it and why he's missing it. That is the method that he has to use. Really, perfection is knowledge. But there's two types of knowledge. There's knowledge in the abstract, and there's knowledge in the particular. A person who knows how to fix an engine of a car has to know two things. He has to know the universals that make the engine work, and then he has to be able to know in particular what's the situation of this particular motor, in order to understand what to do in this situation. So the same exact thing applies to an individual. And a person, the only thing that's difficult about this, a motor is an outside thing, so there's nothing fighting you. But over here the difficulty is that there's a tremendous force that is countering, that is fighting your penetration, your intellectual penetration of yourself. Which itself must be understood. You see? And that is tricky. It's a tricky thing. That's why Chazal say that it requires great tachbulos keneged yetzahara. The interesting thing is that there's a lot of sifrei musar on this, but I've never seen anybody really spell out what those tachbulos are. You know? I mean, and the yetzahara is crooked, and he's sneaky, and he's sly, and all these, the sutton sly, all these Chazal, you know? Nobody really spells out what are these tachbulos? I'm telling you, the only way it is each person has his own system of avoiding reality through his emotions. And it's an individualized system. It's highly individualized. Everybody's different. There are universals, but the particulars are very, very individualized. And that's really what the Gemara means by the Tachbulos. It means you have to be able to reflect objectively on how you're being removed from the correct life. Of course, the first thing the person must do is that he must admit that he isn't living the perfect life. And that he can do very easily. He can just take a look and see how happy he is. That's the barometer. You see? Insofar as the person is unhappy, so far as he finds, never mind what he thinks, why he's unhappy, the biggest mistake is the person always assumes. This is one assumption. I think if a person would be able to remove this assumption, he'd really be able to do tshuva. The assumption is, if I had whatever, that big X, if I had that, then I would be happy. See? That concept is the one concept that the person, that's really the last stronghold of the Yetzer Hara. It's the last and it's the greatest. It's the greatest, most powerful bastion of his possession. That's the most powerful point that he has. And the person's emotions get attached to that very, very powerfully. And he's convinced, like we mentioned before, once the emotions have the power of conviction. So if a person could remove that one concept and realize that in reality there is nothing that he will ever attain in an external way that is really going to make a difference in his life. It is complete fantasy. There simply is nothing that's going to make any difference in his life. Any acquisition he's going to get is not going to make a difference. If you don't believe it, you can take a look at the people who have the things that you dream about. And you'll notice they're not as happy as you would be.
See?
So there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. So if a person would be able to realize that, if he'd be able to realize that, I think then he'd be in the position to approach Shura. Because then he'd realize that the problems are internal. And unless he does, if he wants to achieve any happiness in this existence and in the next, and you don't worry about the next so much, in this existence, because that's what people are really worried about, so then the person should realize that he's not going to do it through external acquisitions. But this is only a way that the ego defends itself. Because it cannot maintain that there's something wrong internally. It simply can't. It's too devastating an idea. So what it has to do is blame projected on the outside world, missing this and missing that. all these things, all the fantasies. That's basically the thing that is ma'ake, that prevents a person from doing tshuva. That one idea, I think, is probably the most powerful thing that prevents a person from tshuva. Because he cannot see that he's in a bad state. Yeah. Because he has to be able to change his particular psyche. He has to restructure his own nature. And you can't. It doesn't happen automatically. That's why, see, the difference, there's a difference between Talmud Torah and between tshuva. You see the Torah allots different times for different perfections. You have Talmud Torah, which Chazal, Chochmah, Chazal emphasize, Psukim, I mean, Nevi'im, always Chochmah. Greatest emphasis on Chochmah. But there's a time for tefillah also. The person, most people don't like that, they'd rather have a Chochmah than tefillah. We spoke about this many times. Why? Because Chochmah is something which is an ego thing also. It could be an ego thing. Ah, tefillah, what? There's nothing to show about tefillah. So what? A guy davening more? What is it? See? But the pasuk says near the fall, the pasuk says the pasuk equates tefillah with deah, with knowledge. Why? Because it's a particularized knowledge. It's a time when the knowledge is applied to the self. And tshuva, tefillah, and tshuva. I mean, tefillah really is the state before tshuva. Tefillah and tshuva go together. Because tefillah is away from the abstract universals, and it's really into the more practical universals. And tshuva is the particular. You understand? It's like three levels, really. There's a totally abstract, best way of life. Then there is the universals, which have to do with this, with our particular life. But then tshuva is the final. Actually, tshuva is actually a culmination. It starts from Talmud Torah, goes through tefillah, and winds up, it ends in tshuva. That's why Yom Kippurim is the culmination. Because the tshuva is really the internal, the final point where the person has knowledge, the particular knowledge about the self. That's the order that it follows. That's the order that it follows. But the system, I mean, we're fortunate that we have the system. Without the system, there wouldn't be any hope. Yes? Important question. All right. The question was raised, that the Torah seems to be very rigid in its structure with regard to all these different expressions, these inner expressions, because the Torah insists that tshuva be done between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, and like you mentioned, Tisha B'Av, Korban HaBayis is done on Tisha B'Av, and every time is a time of tshuva. So the Torah seems to be very rigid, and a person doesn't have that much control of his emotions to be able to summon them up and to control them the way he wants to. I want you to know the answer to this question is the difference between Yadus and between every other system. The difference is as follows. That what is perfection? If you maintain perfection is an emotional thing, so then you have to wait around for the emotions to start moving you. See? You have to wait around for the emotions to start moving you. Then a person will react to that situation. So they say, hey, as a matter of fact, people don't want to dictate. They don't want to, today it's a very common thing. I want to be dictated. Now I have to do tshuva? What do you mean? When I'll feel like it, that's when I'll do it. That is not tshuva. Because when the person says, when I feel like it, I'll do tshuva, that means he again simply wants to follow his emotions. That is really the same, that's the same exact desire that has led him to the state that he's in. You see, the state is very, it's a very stubborn state. It resists any type of external force, you see, or what it perceives as force. But Yadus maintains that tshuva has to be min ha-sechel. It has to start min ha-sechel, it has to start from the intellect. The intellect, why, is he any less intellectual? His mind isn't working as well now during his Esmei Tshuva as it was a week before. The mind, fortunately, is not subject to those type of vacillations that the emotions are. And on the contrary, the tshuva is supposed to start with the intellect. So if there's a time of the year that's designated for a person to have his mind concentrate on certain inner realities, that is the way exactly it should be. Not to wait. And the same thing with Tisha B'Av also. Tisha B'Av is a realization. It's a realization. And if the realization, a person should be able, it should be, if it's motivated by mind, then it should be able to be subject to his mind. On the contrary, see, the halacha is very, very much concerned about zman. Everything's man. Tula's man. This is man. Shabbos. Yeah, everything's man. Zman is very important. Why? Because if the prime mover is an intellectual thing, then zman is perfect. Fine, now's the time. This is the time we set aside to think about our inner lives. What's wrong? What's the problem? Oh, emotionally you don't feel like it. Well, then you have to think about that emotion. I mean, that's a problem. I mean, the problem is that you're following the emotions. But people who don't want to live a life of mind, they reject this type of thing. What they want is, whenever their emotions, oh, if I feel sad today, I'll think about Korban HaBayis. You see? This is not an expression of Korban HaBayis. This is an expression of his own personal emotions. You see? That's precisely why the system is rigid. Because rigidity in Zman is, and Halacha is all undermined. But if the but emotional expression, to go when a person feels like it, that is, I want you to know, it's the philosophy of this generation. The philosophy of this generation cannot tolerate one thing. Anything that goes against their emotions, they can't tolerate. Simply can't tolerate. Everything has to be in line with their emotions. That's the philosophy of today's, of this world, of this generation. That's just this generation's philosophy. Everything has to be in line with the way I feel. The way I feel is the right way. And who are you to push me around? Tell me to do this now, do that now. I have to go according to the way I feel at the time. That is the philosophy of this generation. That's completely the opposite of the others. And that's why the religious systems that people go for are systems that cater to this type of a thing. It's more natural. It's more in line with their own nature. Of course it is, but their nature is a corrupt one, so it's in line with corruption. That's the only problem. Yes?
But
there's a difference. See, there's a tremendous difference. See, the Rambam very cautiously says, Midarche ha-tshuva, shlios ha-shov tzoek. Tzoek tam lefnei Hashem. Midarche ha-tshuva. What is midarche ha-tshuva? Mechiyuvei ha-tshuva. She yitzak lefnei Hashem. Bibchi of Sachanunim. No, the Rambam says Midarche Yatshuva. What's the difference between Darche Yatshuva and Chiyuve Yatshuva? The difference is a very great one. If it's a chiyuv to cry, so a person say, I have to cry now, I have to get my emotions up to cry. So I'll say, now I don't feel like crying. Get me in a bad time, I'll cry. You see? Then it's not, then you can't dictate, then it would be, you can't be rigid about it. You can't say, now it's time to cry. But Midarche Yatshuva means like this. It means, everybody, you see, Yadus does not negate a person's emotions. A person is a human being, has emotions. I mean, you see the Rambam himself, when he lost his brother, how depressed he was for a year. He was physically, became physically sick. He couldn't get off the bed for months because his brother passed away. It's true, even though the Rambam himself says it, you're not supposed to miss Abel. But it's true, I mean, philosophically, but a person has emotions, and Yadus does not want a person not to have emotions. Because emotions are a part of his nature. What Yadus wants is that the emotions should be expressed in the right way. In other words, for the right things. Should be attached to the right things. So Midarche HaTshuva means that this is a Derech of Tshuva. A person realizes that he's been going the wrong way. Just like a person would cry if he lost somebody that he loved very much. Or if he lost his fortune, perhaps. He would cry, he would be very upset. So this, if the realization is such that his mind is really attached to this reality, it's natural that he would cry, because crying is a natural expression. So that's why, different than just getting into an emotional, there's no halacha, there's no case where we have to get ourselves into an emotional state for the sake of the emotional state itself. The emotional state is supposed to be a reflection. At the center is the mind, which recognizes certain things, and the emotions should flow naturally, should follow naturally what the mind apprehends. That's why it says midarche hatshuva. It's derech hatshuva. It's true. It's derech hatshuva. A person, of course, the Rambam is not speaking about tshuva, a guy that did a little chayit. He's speaking about a person that recognizes the whole direction of his life is wrong. Well, what a waste! How much he's wasted? He has to be tzaddik. This is what should make a person cry, not other things. So the emotions over here, the Rambam talks about, are emotions that stem naturally when a person is attached to a certain reality. That's the way a person's emotions should be. Not to remove emotions. You can't remove emotions. A person has emotions. You cannot remove them. There's no negating. That's one thing Yadda says. Does not negate a person's emotions. Yes?
That's why
it
says
in the Darkei Chuliyos HaShav. Yes, Hashem. That's the natural thing. Yeah. The Ram doesn't say if he doesn't, that's Chiyuvei HaTshuva. That's Darkei HaTshuva. Darkei HaTshuva. On the highest level, that's what tshuva really would be. That would be the natural reaction. If this reaction didn't occur, then the person would not be really involved in seeing a different reality, and that this is where it's at, and I've been wasting my time. He has to feel bad. There's no, if he doesn't feel bad, then there's something wrong. Yes,
exactly right. We're defined by the Hasidim Rishonim.
Why? Because they didn't do tshuva from this basic thing that they're convinced by their emotions. Rather, well, without Talmud, there's no Chachmas HaTorah. There's no Chachmas HaTorah. There's no other way. There has to be that way. They simply haven't made the first basic step. If you don't make that first basic step, you can't get near perfection. There's no one even approaching. Okay, actually, I had something else I wanted to say also, but I don't think it's. I think we'll, maybe we'll stop. Maybe we'll leave with this point. So, I have something for next year. Okay. Okay, everybody, sorry. I want to wish everybody Gemach HaSim Tov in a particular. Or else during the break, I mean, a person should find the time of the day to do tshuva, to do some introspection. Otherwise,
that's why you make tshuva also?
What?